Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Mesa City Council meeting for Thursday, July 8th, 2010. I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and as always, it's an honor and privilege for me to serve and to conduct this meeting. We'll begin tonight's meeting with an invocation by Pastor Tony Frazee from the Gateway Bible Church, after which we'll be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilmember Scott Summers. Would you please rise for the invocation and the pledge?
Would you like to bow with me? Father, we thank you that we live in the United States of America, and we ask your help and your blessing, God, on our country. Starting right here with this meeting, we pray that justice and liberty would reign in our city, and that you bless this meeting in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. We'll now proceed with the mayor's welcome.
Welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting. Thank you for your interest and participation in the city of Mesa. At this time, please turn off or select the vibrate option on all cell phones or pagers while the meeting is in progress. If you would like to speak on any items, please fill out one of the blue cards located in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. You also may ask for an item to be removed from the consent agenda. Items in the consent agenda are read into the record and voted on in one motion. On zoning cases, comments from citizens are made after the applicant presents their case, and we ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes. At the end of tonight's meeting, under items from citizens present, there is an opportunity for 3 citizens to speak on any issue with a maximum of 3 minutes each. When the mayor calls your name, please step up to the podium and state your name and address and make your comments. The timer on the wall to the right of the city council will keep track of your time. The city of Mesa operates under a council district system with the mayor elected at large. The mayor of Mesa is Scott Smith, serving his first term. There are 6 districts in Mesa, and here are your elected council members. In District 1, Dave Richens represents Northwest Mesa. In District 2, Alex Finner represents Central and South Central Mesa. In District 3, Dennis Cavanaugh represents Southwest Mesa. In District 4, Kyle Jones represents Downtown Mesa and the area south of downtown. In District 5, Dina Higgins represents Northeast Mesa. And in District 6, Scott Summers represents Southeast Mesa. Information about your council members and the city of Mesa is available online at www.mesaaz.gov. All city council meetings are broadcast live and then rebroadcast on Mesa Channel 11. To view the programming schedule, log on to mesachannel11.com.
Last weekend, we had something pretty special happen in the city of Mesa and the community, and that was our first annual. Hopefully it's an annual, we think. I guess we call it the inaugural Arizona Celebration of Freedom. And if you missed it, you missed a great party. 2 nights combined, we had over 50,000 people converge on our downtown. Friday night it was hotter than all get out, and we still had, 15,000 plus. A lot of people having a great time, and then on Saturday it was wall-to-wall people. And the most important thing wasn't the number of people, was that people felt that we were a community. We got a lot of feedback from a lot of people who had a great time, and felt like there was something for everybody. And I think it was just this feeling of community, and that's especially gratifying to me, because this was more than anything else a community effort. In really around 6 months, a group of individuals got together and coordinated this event, which attracted all these people and brought over 40 organizations and businesses together to underwrite this, and attracted more than 450 citizen volunteers, members of our community, who gave of their time and worked very hard to pull off a pretty spectacular event. I think there were people who had never experienced our downtown. There were people from outside the city and some of the people we worked with, some of our sponsors who frankly didn't know what this community could do. And they kept talking about what an incredible accomplishment this was to put off an event of this size, this magnitude, with as few of hiccups. And we literally had very few hiccups. Some of the biggest complaints we had was it was too crowded. There were too many people. what a great problem to have, is to have a lot of people having a great time. Had no police incidences, no significant medical incidents. It was just a good time. So, I'm especially grateful, not that we pulled it off, but that we had a good time as a community and that this is something to really build upon. And this event is going to be, a signature event in the state. There were those who told us we were absolutely crazy. We could not have a street festival in the first week in August in downtown Mesa.
July.
What did I say, August? We couldn't do it in August either. And we certainly couldn't do it in July, and I think we proved that can happen. The other thing is, people told me you can't shoot fireworks off of buildings, and darn it, we proved them wrong on that one too. It was, if you didn't see it, it was quite a sight to see fireworks going off the tops of Mesa City Hall and the Arts Center, and we'll have a few surprises next year. So we have just a very short little video that our staff put together, and great. So thank you, Mesa, and thanks to all those who are involved, and thank you especially to Sertoma Club, who has given so graciously to our community for many, many years, and sponsored the fireworks show over at the Mesa High and then at Mesa Community College. It started at Mesa High, old Jackrabbit Stadium. When we were kids, that's where it was, and then it moved to Mesa Community College. And I think that we wanted to do something a little different, and it was not only different, it was spectacular, as you saw. So thank you to all members of this community and all organizations who stepped up and gave so willingly and so generously and so graciously. Thank you so very much. And that's one of the successes that I have the pleasure of celebrating. Another success is we have many in the audience tonight, and I know that all of them cannot be here, who are outgoing members of our citizens' boards and commissions. We have citizens who give willingly of their time and their talents, and do so for many years. And at the end of a few terms on boards, we ask them to rotate off, and we're here to thank them. This community is fortunate to have so many residents who care a great deal about our community. We're privileged to have nearly 200 Mesa citizens serve on one of Mesa's 21 citizen advisory boards and committees. These individuals give a great deal of their time, talent, and energy in helping to build a better Mesa. The city derives a tremendous amount of benefit from the knowledge, experience, and expertise of these civic-minded individuals. Tonight, we'd like to honor 27 of our outgoing board and committee members, each of whom have completed their terms on particular boards, and to thank them for their dedicated service. I know that not every outgoing member can be with us tonight. However, we'd like to recognize those who did come, and whether you're here or not, thank you so very much. Sometimes I know you wonder if your voices are heard, you wonder if you have an impact. I can guarantee you do. I can tell you that your service is truly appreciated. Your opinions are listened to and are very important. So, we'd like to recognize those who are here, and I've asked the Vice Mayor Jones to read the names of each outgoing member. As your name's read, please come up to the podium. We have a nice little, what do you call that anyway? It's not really a plaque.
A gesture.
A gesture. Well, and a gift, a parting gift,
token
too. A token of appreciation. Thank you. And please come up to the podium and read your, and we'll, as we read your name and receive your award. So, Vice Mayor, give me a chance to get down there, and we'll set up, we'll go.
All right, as I read names, would you please come forward and the mayor can hand you your little token of recognition and get a quick photo with him. First of all, Judah Nativio, Board of Adjustment. Okay, Scott Thomas, Board of Adjustment. Bill Benedict, Building Board of Appeals. Delight Clark, Design Review Board. Tim Nielsen, Design Review Board. Thank you, Tim. All right, thank you. Jared Rogers, Historic Preservation Committee. Renee Coelho, Human Relations Advisory Board. Craig Couillard, Human Relations Advisory Board. Lisa Hudson, Human Relations Advisory Board. Everett Woods Sr., Human Relations Advisory Board. Neil Euclis, Industrial Development Authority. Michael Cowan, Judicial Advisory Board. Stella Hunsaker, Judicial Advisory Board. There we go. And thank you, Stella. And I've never seen the first name in print here, but James Scott Rhodes for Judicial Advisory Board. Thank you, Scott. And we have Michael Yates, Library Advisory Board. John Nielsen, Merit System Board. John, thank you. We have Peter Cook, Museum and Cultural Advisory Board. I don't see Peter, okay. Kit Philby, Museum and Cultural Advisory Board. Frank Alger, Parks and Recreation Board. Don't see Frank. Michelle Udall, Parks and Recreation Board. Connie Glott-Whiteman, Parks and Recreation Board. There we go. Thank you, Connie. Dietrich Buxko, Personnel Appeals Board. Personnel Appeals Board. Oh, okay. Frank Meisner, Planning and Zoning Board. Yes, thank you, Frank. A familiar face. We have Thomas Lagerhausen, Self-Insurance Board of Trustees. Linda Sullivan, Self-Insurance Board of Trustees. Grady Van Noy, Transportation Advisory Board. Thank you, Grady. And last, we have Kathy Pace, Fire Public Safety Pension Board and Police Public Safety Pension Board. And that concludes our list. Thank you very much. Again, appreciation for all of them. I'll turn it back over to the mayor.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. And thanks once again to all of you who have served so diligently. We really appreciate it. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Consent agenda will be read in by Mr. Kevin Christopher. Kevin?
All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license for Dobson Ranch HOA one-day event on July 16th, 2719 South Reyes. Item 3B, act on liquor license for CVS Pharmacy, 9950 East Guadalupe Road. Item 4A, act on term contract for graffiti abatement services for Transportation Department. Item 4B, act on contract to purchase 8 new portable radios and accessories for Police Department. This is funded by the Urban Area Security Initiative Grant. Item 4C, act on term contract for 6-month extension for Class 250 gas meters for Energy Resources Department. Item 4D, act on term contract for 2-month extension for tires for warehouse and fire maintenance inventory. Item 4E, act on contract for consolidated canal multi-use path phases 2A and 2B, 8th Street to Lindsay Road. This project fully funded with a federal grant from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Item 4F, act on contract for Falcon Field Airport storm drain safety improvements. This project is funded by a federal administration grant and the fiscal year 10-11 Falcon Field Airport capital program. Item 5A, act on resolution to extinguish public utilities and facilities at 1714 South Rialto Street. Item 5B, act on resolution vacating portion of right-of-way at 2012 West Southern Avenue. Item 5C, act on resolution approving grant agreement with Arizona Criminal Justice Commission for Victim Services Program. Item 5D, act on resolution approving grant agreement with Arizona Department of Public Safety for Victim Services Program. Item 5E, act on resolution designating the City of Mesa to be a recovery zone for purposes of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Item 5F, act on resolution levying the amount to be raised by a secondary property tax and the rate upon each $100 of the assessed valuation of property for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2011. Item 5G, act on resolution to approve deed of release and reconveyance on Mark Center property, 756 South Mesa Drive. Item 5H, act on resolution to approve deed of release and reconveyance on Mark Center property, 422 West Ivy Glen. Items 5I and 5J have been deleted. Item 5K, act on resolution adopting Desert Uplands design guidelines. Item 5L, act on resolution supporting negotiations with Chicago Cubs for city-owned stadium for Cactus League spring training. Item 6A, act on resolution approving pre-annexation agreement with Rancho Riata LLC for sewer line installation. Item 6B, act on ordinance regarding A07-36, annexing land on Pueblo Avenue west of Crisman Road. Item 6C, act on ordinance regarding Z10-13, 9828 East Pueblo Avenue to establish Mesa zoning on recently annexed property. Item 6D, act on ordinance regarding Z10-14, 9828 East Pueblo Avenue, rezoned for a manufactured home park. Item 7A, take action on ordinance regarding Z10-16, 6003 East Arbor Avenue for expansion of existing assisted living facility. And item 7B, take action on ordinance regarding Z10-18, northwest corner of and southwest corner of Hawes and Ray Road for development of mixed-use project. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Before we go, I, as usual, failed to recognize Councilmember Dennis Kavanaugh, who is joining us by phone. Councilmember Kavanaugh, you there?
Yes, I am there.
Okay, sorry about that, but he is there and will be participating. Is there a member of the council that would like to remove any item from the consent agenda? Councilmember Summers.
Mayor, I'm not going to remove an item. I hope you can... You know what? I just made a second on the motion. That's fine. I'm not going to remove an item, Mayor, but on item 7A, I wanted to bring this one out for just a brief comment. It's the approval of assisted living facility. With our aging population in Mesa, we're going to expect and hopefully we'll be seeing an increase in a high-quality assisted living facilities throughout the city of Mesa and Arizona as a whole. I had the opportunity to research this one a little bit and found out that indeed this is a high quality facility, and the care that they provide includes having an RN available for their members. Unfortunately, not all assisted living facilities are equal. All too often, in my experience, I found that the care being provided is barely care at all, and that they rely heavily on 911 emergency services, most notably the fire department, to provide even the simplest level of care, including just picking mom or dad up off the floor. I would hope in the future, as these come forward, We do our due diligence to make certain that the level of care being provided is of the quality that we would expect were we to be placed in one, or if we were to put place our parents in one. So with those comments, I find that this facility is a high quality facility, and since I made the second on the motion, I guess I'll approve it as well. Thank you, Comment.
Mayor.
Thank you, Council Member. Ms. Crocker, are there any requests from the public to remove an item?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Vice Mayor Jones, a second from Council Member Summers. Are there any other comments, questions? Please vote. The vote is 6, and Council Member Kavanaugh, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative, and the consent agenda is approved. The next item on the agenda is item 4G, term contract for police towing services for the police department. The contract is, as recommended by the purchasing division, is to award contracts to the highest scored proposals: Apache Sands Service Center, Inc., DBA Apache Sands Towing for Zones 1 and 3, and ACT Towing, LLC, DBA All City Towing for Zones 2 and 4. Mr. Brady, is there anything you'd like to add to this, or just move along?
Mayor, I think just to bring the council up to date, this item was scheduled for the previous Thursday. Prior to that, we had received a protest on the process of the selection. We have gone back to the individuals who protested this and explained the process through which we developed the scoring and the RFP and the expectations that we had and why we scored. So that's where that matter is, and I don't know that we've heard anything from them since then, but that, we are recommending to move forward with this item today. Believe we've done a very thorough process and evaluation of all the proposals. There are some very strong proposals, but we believe we selected what's best that will be able to serve both the those residents and citizens of Mesa who drive through Mesa may need this service, but also just as important, it also provides a critical service for our public safety officers. Thank you.
Thank you. And Vice Mayor, I believe you have something to say?
Yes, because of probable conflict of interest, I will recuse myself from discussing or voting on this matter.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Brady. Entertain a motion to on item 4G. We have a motion to approve from Council Member Summers and a second from Council Member Richens. We have three people who have asked to speak on this item, three citizens. The first we'll hear from Mr. Richard Thompson, and he'll be followed by Tom O'Brien. Mr. Thompson.
Everybody see that okay? Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Richard Thompson, and I am the owner of Alley Express Towing, located at 661 West Broadway Road in Mesa. 3 months ago, the City of Mesa issued an RFP for police towing services. This RFP stated, the City of Mesa will determine the pricing score using the following formula. This is the formula the city stated, without reservation, would be used to score the pricing portion of the proposal. No mechanism in the RFP for replacing this simple formula. This formula is actually mathematically perfect. It has perfect fidelity of comparison, as seen in this chart. If your bid is twice as low as someone else's, you get twice the points. If your bid saves the taxpayers four times the money, it scores four times as many points. No matter what the amount bid, from one penny to $1 million, the formula compares and scores the proposals without bias and determines the proportionate value to each other. It is the only formula in the world that offers a perfect devotion to accurate comparison. The city had a clear legal obligation to use this formula to score the proposals, both because the RFP demands it and because it is perfect. Had they done so, Valley Express would have been recommended for two zones as the top scoring bidder. Inexplicably and without notice, Purchase instead jettisoned the required formula. This unwarranted change in formula resulted in our firm's unjust demotion from first to fourth. Four of the five contending companies were awarded points they did not deserve under the original formula. Only my proposal failed to benefit from the formula purchasing invented. Only five companies had a mathematical chance of an award before pricing was scored. And as section I-19C of the RFP states, contractors who do not rank sufficiently high in the evaluation of their technical response need not be considered for the price evaluation or award. I implore you to score the pricing category for these five contenders using the mandatory formula demanded in the RFP. Any scoring of the proposals which evaluates the proposals in accordance with the RFP shows Valley Express as the victor. I repeat, when the original perfect formula is used and the city's RFP is adhered to, Valley Express has the highest scoring proposal. My company has the fastest average response times in Mesa. We have turned in the least expensive bid for the city and the taxpayers. And we have the highest scoring proposal when the city's own RFP is followed. The award of two zones belongs rightfully to Valley Express Towing. I urge the council to instruct purchasing to score the proposals using the original formula, publish the correct proposal rankings, and facilitate a two-order zone for Valley Express Towing. Thank you.
Thank you. I have one question for you. I'm a little confused because you're saying that the scoring did not follow the RFP.
Yes, sir.
Did you protest the bid at all?
The RFP doesn't give us the opportunity to protest until the award is made.
Did you protest the award?
There hasn't been an award yet.
Last week, and I'm a little confused then. Last week we said there was a protest, which is why we put it.
We voiced our concern to the only person the RFP would allow us to, which was Mr. Darrell Woodson, and he told us to follow the guidelines spelled out in the RFP.
You want to get his questions, and then we can be
responsible. Well, let's see if there's any other questions. I just was wondering if you had a problem with the way the RFP or the way the RFP was applied, and that's what I'm gathering from your presentation, I would think that somehow.
Right. Mr. Mayor, in this RFP that I have not seen in other ones was a non-solicitation clause which forbid any contact with any city employee other than Mr. Darrell Woodson or Miss Eileen Williams, I think it was. We were very careful not to violate that. We have been in communication with Mr. Woodson through email asking how we should proceed. There was steps very clearly identified in the RFP that we did not want to be disqualified by not following the correct procedure. As I say, we did contact Mr. Woodson and followed his advice on how to handle it.
Okay. Let's thank you. Any other questions? We'll have staff talk about this in just a second.
Mr. Mayor, also, if I could point out one quick thing, because this is the only opportunity I've had. In the city's scoring, they're probably going to say, no, he's not right, his scoring isn't right. But if they re-add the four columns, there's an addition error that deprived us four additional points, which is what using the original formula would have scored us in first place.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next item, speaker on this item is Mr. Tom O'Brien. Mr. O'Brien, if you'd please, for the record, give us your name and address.
Thomas O'Brien, 310 South Alma School Road in Mesa. I'm here representing Auto City Towing. I am the general manager there. I have been in the towing industry since the early 1980s. Auto City Towing, which bid on this RFP, is the second oldest towing service or incorporated towing service in the valley. Our main office is located at Alma School and Broadway, right in the center of zones 1 and 2. We have 2 acres there with an additional 2 acres for additional use. We operate 17 trucks, the average age of being 2007. Most of those trucks were bought brand new in 2008. Auto City Towing currently averages approximately 40 tows per day. Currently, Auto City Towing is the police tow provider for the city of Tempe, as well as All City Towing and Apache Sands. For the previous 2 years, Auto City Towing has been the number one response time company for that city. During this RFP process, Auto City scored second overall in the pricing category, significantly better than All City and Apache Sands. Apache Sands currently has zone 4 of the city of Mesa, which according to your numbers, they average 4.11 tows a day. Under the new, if awarded this new RFP, they'll jump up to almost 15 per day. That's approximately a 260% increase in tows. Based on the fact that we haven't been given any information by the city to accurately look at their response, Apache Sands storage facility is approximately 13 miles away from the furthest point of the city of Mesa Tempe border in western Mesa. According to MapQuest, the drive time from their facility out in East Mesa, Apache Junction, would be 23 minutes with no traffic. I could see that becoming an issue with the 25-minute response time. I believe it would be in the best public interest, safety, and price for the citizens of Mesa for the contract to be awarded to the following: Apache Sands, because of their proximities to zones 3 and 4, to be awarded those 2 zones. All City Towing to be awarded zone 2. And Auto City Towing being awarded zone number 1. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Are there any questions for Mr. O'Brien? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the last speaker on this is Mr. Brian Hatch. Mr. Hatch, if you'd state your address for the record, please.
Sure. Brian Hatch, 1423 South Higley Road, Suite 110, Mesa, 85206. Mayor Smith, members of the City Council, I also represent Auto City Towing, have done so since 2006. Just a brief update on City Manager's comments. Auto City Towing did, in fact, file a protest. Since that time, we received a response from the city and have filed an appeal as of yesterday. Just as a procedural matter, we believe that that's proper under the terms of the RFP and the procurement code. I guess I want to go beyond just a little what Mr. O'Brien has said and sort of let the council and mayor know that the RFP process and the results in this particular case, really the recommendation of the award does not really get the city what it wants or needs. The process itself of scoring looks somewhat scientific from the outside, and yet when you look at it, what you find is that it takes the relatively small differences you see between the various bids and the towing companies and overblows them to the point, or turns them on its head. For example, Auto City score is lower than a comparable bid where, in the category, I'm talking about the category of equipment and personnel, where the company at issue has less personnel, less trucks, and the fleet is considerably older, and yet they score higher. Overall, notwithstanding the recent pricing discussion, there's also in one category, which is the daily storage rate, Auto City is docked 10 points for having a $20 fee when the next highest fee for the comparison at least, is $10. So for a $10 difference, they're docked 10 points. Yet in the hourly rate category, Auto City's bid is $0 value. And for comparison, there's two other bids, one at $20 and one at $30. And in those cases, the $20 increase results in only a 3-point advantage to Auto City, though it's bid $20 less, and only a 5-point advantage in case of the $30 less bid. So the whole thing is just, unfortunately, ends up being a two-zone process. And oddly enough, spread laterally across the city, split north and south by Broadway Road. And the locations that Mr. O'Brien talked about make all the difference, because essentially what you've got is the tow yard in operation on Sossaman and Main, and 4,000 of the annual estimated tows, you know, 15 to 20 miles away near Alma School. And it's clear to me that what's happened is the anticipated number of tows in each zone have been correlated so that the two incumbent tow providers in the city have each been awarded essentially half, without regard to the fact that their offices are actually the furthest away from where the tows are anticipated. So
I believe I may be out of time, so I will stop and just say that in part of our protest, we recommend a rotational system like Tempe went to, reduce their response times by 10 minutes, which Gilbert has had for a number of years, would avoid the RFP process and the ensuing competitive, I call them melee, that seems to happen in these things when you have, you know, a business with, you know, some form of a guaranteed amount of work. I mean, that's what you get in these kind of RFP situations. And so a rotational system would solve a lot of problems for the city.
Thank you, Ms. Chatch. Let me ask you one question. If you went to rotational, isn't there a minimum standard, though, that the company has to meet to be included in the rotation?
There certainly is.
Okay. And how do you differentiate or get on the, if you meet the minimum standards, you get on the list?
Yeah. I mean, the number of responses to the RFP will indicate approximately the number of companies that are interested. Those that are interested in having a yard close enough to the zone, for example, will you know, either already have one or would lease one. You can look at the city of Gilbert and the city of Tempe and how they work it and see that it does in fact work very well.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Hatch? Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I have to back up a little bit. I made a mistake when I asked for motions prior to the presentation, so I apologize for that. Councilmember Summers and Richens, would you like your motions to stay in place, or would you like to wipe them clean and start again?
We can start again.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Okay, now, any other questions or comments from the council before we move ahead? Now I'll entertain motions. Same thing? Okay. We have a motion from Councilmember Summers, a second from Councilmember Richens. Second. Any questions or comments? Councilmember Fenter.
Thank you, Mayor. I think there's been enough questions raised that I won't be supporting the motion as it proceeds, and just like to get some clarity. I had some concerns from the very first study session that we had about how it's approached and how we look at the city on, is it a sole provider, is it a rotating system, and so I'm concerned enough that I won't be supporting the motion.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. I will echo Councilman Fincher's comments. Charts, I love charts with numbers that point out discrepancies. There's too many questions, I feel, also in my mind, that I would be uncomfortable moving ahead with this, so I too will not be supporting the motion. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? Councilmember Kavanaugh?
No comments, Mayor.
Okay.
Mayor, if I might just make sure I'm understanding so that the record is clear. The motion that's being made and seconded is to support the staff recommendation that's on the agenda.
Is to approve.
Thank you.
Item 4G. Councilmember Summers.
Yeah, I will support the staff recommendation. I don't have a dog in the sun. I don't care who wins the contract. All I care about is that the police department has a service available to them that moves cars that are in a wreck off the road as quickly as possible. Police department and staff have put through, a series of measures. Everybody, and all I care about is that they were put together without prejudice, and I believe that's the case. That they're applied equally, and I believe that's the case. And I understand that there's just not enough business for everybody. We will continue to monitor these contracts through the Council Audit Committee and make sure that they are meeting the time requirement, and if not, they will be addressed. There were questions about providership. Do we go three, four, or single provider? Do we do a rotational system? I can tell you, having been with the fire department for a long time, the ambulance rotation in Phoenix was an utter disaster. It ended up with very long wait times, and I don't know how any community can do a rotational and expect to have increased service. We, as a council, decided to pursue an ambulance contract with one provider covering four different communities. So, you know, on one hand, you have a lot of providers on a rotational basis. You have one provider providing a city, and you can make arguments for and against either one of those systems. I think two providers that scored highly are qualified. Dividing the city from the meetings that we have seems to make sense. I think there could be arguments. I think Councilmember Finneran made them previously for a sole provider contract as well. But I think we have a good contract, Mayor, and I will support the motion. I'll be eager to continue to see the Audit and Finance Committee follow the contract and make sure it's living up to the terms.
Thank you, Councilmember Summers. Any other comments? Mr. Cadence, could I ask, I guess you're the one that's going to answer this. As it relates to price, and I'm just trying to understand this because I look at the response to the Auto City protest, and it talks about the fact that the standard pricing formula that was in the RFP was not used and was changed. If you could sort of explain to us what happened there and what went on, and how, if any, you think that might have affected the or impacted the bid process.
Mr. Mayor, what happened was the formula, the standard formula that we use when we put a zero cost in, either the numerator or the denominator of that formula, it does not come out with a percentage that you can then apply to the points. Zero by divided by zero or a number divided by zero does not work in a formula. And so when the evaluation team reviewed that, they recognized that issue and they developed a breakdown of points across the four different categories. And then, for instance, like $0 to $5 earned X number of points, and $6 to $10 earned another value of points. So, and that was applied across the board to all the respondents. And Thompson Diversified was actually the highest scored on price of the vendors that were evaluated.
Go ahead, Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question about what you just said. You said there was a formula that you had to change because someone had a zero cost for that. What was that formula that you did?
The formula takes the lowest scored proposal and divides it by the proposal that you're evaluating, and then you multiply that by the number of points that are possible.
So
the first part is a ratio, and to have a zero in either the numerator or the denominator will not let you come out with a workable result.
So this was a formula you had always used before, and now all of a sudden it doesn't work? And
that's correct.
I don't understand how you're getting this zero in the denominator. You can have zero in the numerator, it will be zero, and then everything becomes zero. But
zero times X number of points times 10 points gets you zero, though.
So what changed in this go-around that wasn't there before when you used to use this formula? That's what I'm not following.
Nobody ever bids zero.
So
this is an unusual contract because we do get zero bids.
And Mayor and Council, I think give an example, Ed, because I think you had some proposers who were willing to offer zero cost for our service. Is that right?
Wouldn't that naturally just take you to the
in
highest
contract,
score then?
Yes.
Okay, and so talk about how that's how you had to find a way to make sure that score, that offer,
correct,
got recognized.
But correct.
And I will say this, Council, you could take the total, give both of the groups that have come here today to say, and you could get them the full 80 points, and they would still end up in the rank where they are today.
Okay, just to clarify one more thing, what you just said. So somebody, one of them offered to do something for no cost.
Correct.
Which then screwed everything up.
Which then made the formula unworkable as it is.
And we don't want anything for free. Is that what's happening?
Well, it's not that we don't want it for free, but you take that ratio and you multiply that by the number of points that are available for that category. So if you get either undefined or zero coming out of that formula, out of that ratio, you can't multiply that by those number
but
of points
they
available.
They benefit in your ultimate scoring from giving us that low price.
Now,
correct.
Okay, is the default, if someone says they'll do it for zero cost, wouldn't that default to the highest score though?
Yes, and it
did,
and it did in the formula.
Well, it didn't in the formula because you can't have.
I'm sorry, in the
you
in
can't
the,
have zero. What
in
you
the
said
table,
if they offered zero cost, which is the numerator, you would automatically just max up to the points because zero is the ultimate objective, which is they're not charging anything.
Correct, and in the tables that the evaluation team developed, a zero would get you maximum points.
And then what you're saying is that depending on the, like for example, I'm looking here at the. Schedule you had where you had zero, which got 20 points for hourly rate, a $30 an hour scored 15 points, and $20 an hour scored 17 points. How was that relative scoring accomplished? Because it seems like going from zero to $20, for example, is a pretty significant rate increase, but it doesn't seem like that there was a commensurate change in the scoring. Or maybe it's all relative.
Remember, this is one component of that entire
correct
score. So I think Ed gave us an example in his response to the protest where you could have someone who could offer, you know, a zero rate, but they may be the highest score on another element of the component rates. So there's like four or five different charges.
Four different elements. It was the hourly rate, the daily storage, the open yard after hours, and the per mile cost. So each one of those had each one of those four had a maximum of 20 points available to it for a total of 80 points available for pricing.
Well, so you could get the maximum points for each category, which would be 20 points, but if one of the four that you bid was the actual, let's say the highest, then you would get the lowest point would be about five. So you could, in theory, have three offers of free service.
So this is a relative scoring area.
And then you compare it to someone else, and at the end of the day, and again, most of these that are coming to date, actually, because of that formula, ended up with the highest scores in the pricing.
Right.
But they did score, but some element of that four tiers of pricing, whether it was the hourly rate, the storage, or the open lot after hours, or cost per mile, all of those were treated equally, given a maximum of 20 points if it was zero offer, right? But typically in one of those component portions, they, for example, All City Towing had a $20 daily storage rate, which was one of the highest, even though in the other three components, they were at zero. So they ended up with a 65, not an 80. They ended up with a 65. They got the highest components for three of the four rates, but they got the lowest, probably one of the lowest scores for the daily storage.
Right.
So, because we want to be careful is, we had, even today, and that was one of the things that was concerning, if you remember, Council, we talked about this at the beginning, in the study session, we had very desperate rates being charged across the city. Depending on where your car was being towed from, under the current arrangement today, you had individuals paying a different amount for their tow. And a lot of that has to do with the structure that the tow companies were either charging more or less for the initial tow, but making up for it on the storage. And we try to create a more level formula so that regardless of where you got your car towed from in the city, we try to create a more
equitable
approach so that there wouldn't be a difference depending on which area of town your car was being towed from or which tow company picked up your car.
Councilmember Finter.
Not to change the subject, but just one minor point from our study session to now. City of Phoenix is a sole provider, and they have a backup company that if the sole provider for towing cannot provide the service, then they're required, the backup takes care of it, and the sole provider reimburses them for that. Is that correct?
I'll ask Sergeant Nesbitt to come up and answer that one, but I believe there's different zones, and one provider has been awarded those zones.
All the zones. So a sole provider.
Let Andy verify that.
Yeah.
Mayor and Councilmember Finter, that is accurate. They did put it in different bid zones. However, they did come up with a primary and a secondary that goes all the way across the city. So should the primary vendor not be able to respond, the secondary vendor does pick up the vehicle, and then there's a financial arrangement between those two companies to offset the actual fees charged. So the citizens only charge the fee of the primary vendor within that zone.
And the reason why I asked that, one of the original questions was how do surrounding communities handle their towing contract? And I think there was maybe a misunderstanding on my part and others that somehow there was multiple service providers in the largest community to our west. And so, you know, again, I'm not really pushing hard that point, but it's just interesting to understand the dynamics in different communities. So thank you, Mayor.
Councilman Higgins.
You know, being the math background, this little formula still confused me. So, and I have another question for you. So you took that one thing out of whatever that evaluation point out of it because of the fact that we had someone who was offering at a zero cost.
We had several responses that included certain elements at zero cost, yes.
And you can't put in 0.01 and as a penny and divide it out and see what happens?
That was...
Well, the way you don't have to do, because if it's zero, you're saying you give them maximum points.
And we gave them the maximum points.
Yeah, you took out this one valuation point because of that. That's what I heard you say. Maybe I heard you incorrectly.
It's fine if they are the bidder that we're evaluating. But when you go to someone who's bid $10 and you're comparing that to the lowest bid of zero, you still have a ratio that now is not going to award any points. You can't have a zero in the numerator or the denominator to get points to come out of that. And the numerator is the lowest scored, and the denominator is the price you're evaluating for that response. So a zero in either place doesn't get you any points.
If it's relative, it doesn't matter what your denominator is. I mean, you could put 100 in there. And if it's all relative, whether it's 0 or 10 or 20, because you're comparing one bid against another bid. So why would you ever have 0 as a denominator? Wouldn't it not matter what the denominator is? Isn't the numerator the one that's really the telling number?
When 0 is the bid you're evaluating, it's easy to say they should get maximum number of points.
Right, that's easy.
Right. But when you have a 0 bid that's your lowest and you have a bid that's 100, when you put that into that formula, you're still not going to get a percentage out of that. You're either going to get 0 or you're going to get that you can't do that formula and get a result.
Okay, I'm trying to understand your scoring process.
Okay.
Isn't your scoring process not, when you say the bid you're bidding against, isn't it comparing each bidder against each other? Isn't it a relative comparison?
It is.
So you take I'm still trying to figure out why it matters what your denominator is if it's a relative. Because if you're saying that the lowest bidder gets 20 points and the highest bidder gets 5 points.
Okay. Let's take the zero out of it and try that. If your lowest bid is $1 and the bid you're evaluating is $2, what you get out of that is 50%. Then you apply 50% times the number of points.
So what you're saying though is that you're taking your lowest bid and you're or whatever it is right there and you're comparing each bid to that benchmark.
Correct. But if your lowest bid is 0, a formula like that does not work.
So you're weighting it is what you're doing.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And what you're saying is if it were purely just a relative and a ranking, then it wouldn't matter what your denominator is, but you're saying you're trying to weight it also.
Correct.
Remember, he's weighting it against the maximum points of 80.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, so, on this one item, it's against the...
On the price. The price, the maximum point is 80, correct?
No, it's 20.
Well, it's 20 for each of the four elements total,
total.
And 80 with, for the price total.
I got you.
There's four components of 20 each.
Right. Get right. I'm seeing that. Okay.
One more thing?
Sure.
All right. But would it have made a difference if someone had told me if you bid zero, we're throwing it out, I'll bid the 01. I'll bid the 1 cent, so at least it's not being tossed.
But they didn't get tossed. All we did is go back and say, in order to make it fair so they could get the maximum amount of points, and they did. For each of the four elements of pricing, those who bid zero got the maximum
right.
points. They got maximum points, but they didn't. Was there any proposal, Ed, that bid zero for all four components? They're willing to do everything zero.
I'm seeing heads shaking no.
The answer, because if they did, they would have gotten 80 points.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a formula that instead of using it as a weighted percentage, said, listen, it's not going to work with zero. Every zero, I'm going to make this very clear, everyone that offered zero cost got the maximum points for that component piece.
Well, and then you right. did it on a weighted average relative, and so the bids were compared relatively to each other. So even if someone's in mid-range, would get points based on how they
right.
stack
that's
up.
Correct.
And we could do this forever and ever, and we could get into. Well, I got to ask one more question. Thank you. I just want to get off the math thing because I wasn't. Once I got into compound fractions and everything, fractures. That's what we end up with. Let me ask you one question on the protest because I'm still a little miffed as to Thompson's belief that they had no right to protest when we had a protest. So how would you, did they just misread it or did they have a discussion with you on that?
Well, not with me directly. I don't know if they've had it with staff, but the protest period, as I read it, it says that they can protest at any point up to 7 days after the award. So if we had a protest in the initial solicitation process, they could file a protest there. We issued the council report to the tow industry the day, I believe, before it was sent to the, no, actually it was the week before it was sent to the council to try and make them aware of it. And the clock started ticking at that point for them to file.
So you define
that
the
was
award is when
the
decision is made as to the two, not council action. Or is the award when council acts?
The award is when council acts.
Okay,
they still have opportunity to protest, and once they protest and they receive a response and they don't agree with that response, they still have the opportunity to appeal to Mr. Brady.
Okay. Any other questions? Dennis, Councilman Kavanaugh, you still here?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
Still awake?
All righty. If there's no other questions, we'll vote. I guess we could go down each individual items and probably quibble about how things were scored this way or that way or whatever. I guess I'm a little confused and concerned as to why, some people have protested, other people have not, and maybe that's the bidders require, I guess if I were a bidder, I would protest if I thought something was going on, and they can protest after this. I tend to go with Councilmember Summers. This is one of those contracts that, the city gets nothing financially from these deals, whether it be ambulance or whether it be towing or anything. But we're stuck in the middle because we determine who provides the service. So we're really very much a service-oriented. We want to decide someone who's going to show up, as Councilmember Summers said, when they're supposed to show up, clear it off when they're supposed to, and be fair with our taxpayers, and even those that aren't taxpayers, if they're from outside the community. And I guess, that's why we have staff that provides a bid process. I see where we have, in Phoenix, for example, a single company that won all zones. I guess that means that if we did that here, we'd have probably three companies show up complaining they didn't get it instead of two. And I don't know when it would ever end. I just hope that, and I have to have confidence that the process was complete, was fair. I see the people who participated in it. And I can see those that may not agree with that, can quibble with that. I'm not sure that I agree that the change in the mathematics really affected perhaps a final decision, because it was only one component of several components. I think there are other things that played into that. These companies do have, they continue to have a problem with our approval. They do have the right to protest this, and if there is a valid concern, that'll be raised. So I'm going to go ahead and support this and encourage, if they have a legitimate, to utilize the protest process and go forward, because I believe that, once again, we can disagree with the standards. There is no way in the world to have a completely objective standard for awarding one of these bids, and there is a certain amount of subjectivity that comes into it. It's a human process, and therefore it's going to be subject to differences in opinion as to how we should score this or what weight you should put to that. But I have confidence that the process has been straightforward, and once again, if there are those who don't believe that, then they can protest that, and we'll sort through those. So please vote. Councilmember Kavanaugh, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
The vote is 4-2 in the affirmative, with Councilmember with Vice Mayor Jones abstaining due to a potential conflict, and the motion carries. The next item on the agenda is items from citizens present. Let me see, we had a card here. Oh, here we go. Mr. Saul Solis. Mr. Solis.
Mr. Mayor, council members, good evening. I live at 1748 West Linder Avenue, Mesa 85202. My name is Saul Solis. I'm a native of Arizona and a resident of Mesa for 30 years. I'm in education for 34 years, mostly as an administrator. I'm a member of the Coalition for Immigration Reform, East Valley, whose mission is to ensure fair and just treatment for all Arizona residents and to promote comprehensive immigration reform. We have educated others and ourselves on the issue. We strongly believe that SB 1070 tramples civil rights and American Christian Judeo traditions and values. SB 1070 is having an enormous negative impact on all of us. We in the coalition believe that this atmosphere of conflict in our city of Mesa and in the state, the hate and the intolerance for fear-mongering, divisiveness, mistrust of each other and of our neighbors will take years to heal. We are concerned about 1070 on several levels, not only for the undocumented, but also for ourselves. What model of enforcement will the police utilize? How will they enforce the law justly and effectively? SB 1070 puts police officers in conflicting situations. The city can get sued for enforcing the law or for not enforcing it. We understand there is a 90-minute training video for all police officers and only 3 weeks left to complete the training of all personnel. How many will be trained? How long does it take to train one officer, and at what cost to taxpayers? How many officers speak Spanish and will be available to read suspects their Miranda rights and process them? Will every police car carry a video camera? At what cost? In an already depressed economy, according to the newspapers, SB 1070 is impacting the city of Mesa economically through the loss of tax revenues related to rentals, foreclosures, and lost city and state federal sales and taxes. Hispanic businesses are closing as well. I don't know how much time I have.
About a half minute.
Half minute? Okay, I'm gonna cut it short. I do have some research that I can present to the council if you so wish. SB 1070 ignores the human side. It is dehumanizing not only to the undocumented, but to all of us, because it creates an atmosphere of hate and distrust in the community. It destroys the dignity and respect all people deserve. This law was crafted to instill a climate of fear and does nothing to fix broken immigration system or make the border safer. Instead, we should think of ways in which the labor force can be incorporated into our economy securely and legally, calling for comprehensive immigration reform and take advantage of immigrants' contributions to our economy. We need leadership with vision and imagination for the future. The coalition believes this community should engage in constructive conversations on immigration for the greater good of our city and all. We are ready to assist.
Thank you, Mr. Solis. Appreciate it very much. Thank you for your comments. Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. A motion from the Vice Mayor, a second from Councilmember Summers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you so very much. Thanks, Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you.